This week, we re-entered the ordinary. I love this season, the season after Epiphany, not because it's a short season of ordinary time in our church's calendar, but because it's an ordinary that isn't ordinary. It's that ordinal or numbered season where we count the weeks from Epiphany, that wonderful feast we celebrated 2 weeks ago, where we see Jesus made manifest as the Savior of all the way to Lent, where we travel with Jesus towards his death and then his glorious resurrection. And we show visibly that we've entered this season by changing the colors in the church to a life-giving green. But that green might be best thought of as a translucent green mixed with white, ordinary time mixed with holy days. And that's a good summary of what this season is all about: looking for the holy, for Jesus made manifest in the midst of the mundane, in the midst of our daily life, all the while looking for those little epiphanies where we might see Jesus and find ourselves found over and over again. Last Sunday, we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. It is the first major event commemorated by the church in this season after Epiphany. We read the account of Jesus going down from Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan River, as it was written in the Gospel of Matthew. But all four of the Gospels recount this event of Jesus' baptism. Well, all four sort of do. Today we heard the story from the Gospel of John. And in this reading from the Gospel of John today, almost every second word, it seems like, is some variation on the word for seeing. See, look, watch, seek. Because while Matthew, Mark, and Luke give a play-by-play of Jesus' baptism, all that's said about it in the Gospel of John is what we heard today. John the Baptist's account of seeing the Spirit descend on Jesus at his baptism. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. From this testimony, John the Baptist is so convinced of Jesus' identity that he becomes like that guy on the corner with a sign that needs to tell everyone, "Look, here is the Lamb of God," as if to say, "I saw the Messiah. Did you see him? He's over there. He's walking by. That's him. Go." And so two of John the Baptist's followers turn and follow Jesus. Now, it obviously wasn't a very covert follow, because Jesus sees them right away. Jesus turns, lifts up his eyes, looks into their eyes, and sees them. What are you looking for? Jesus' first words in the Gospel of John aren't a command to silence a demon. It's not a sermon about the kingdom of God while sitting on a mountainside. And it's not a proclamation of the year of God's favor, but a simple question. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? It's a question that's simple in its complexity, because as soon as you have an answer, another deeper level of question is soon going to become apparent. What are you seeking? What is motivating you? What is it that you need? Not just on the surface, but deep down into the very core of your being. why are you here? Not here on earth, though that's a valid question. But why did you interrupt your weekend? Why did you struggle to get out of your driveway this morning, to be here right now? What are you looking for? These poor disciples of John, things get awkward for them really quickly. Likely what they wanted to say was something like, hi, we're following you because the other guy said you were the Lamb of God, so we thought we'd come take a look. What they actually come out with is, where are you staying? We can poke fun, but maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe what they really wanted to know is, Jesus, where are you dwelling? Where do you abide? What lets you put down deep roots into this world and be stable? What is it that allows you to endure life? What makes you different? How can we get what you have? Because there is something different about him. John the Baptist has named it. He is the one on whom I saw the Spirit descend and remain. And in a little while, Jesus is going to use this word again. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Jesus, where are you staying? And Jesus' only response is, come and see. Come and see. There is no judgment here, no negative evaluation of a hurried response when being caught following, no criticism, only come and see. We, and likely those two disciples, tend to expect that what results from responding to the invitation, come and see, is that we find Jesus, that we learn more about Jesus as we witness him in all of the different moments of daily life, the ordinary and the holy. And it is. And John's gospel invites us to see even more than that. It invites us to see and to be changed by seeing. Jesus said to the two disciples of John, come and see. So they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Jesus, where are you staying? Come and see. Remain with me and I will remain with you. In remaining, these two disciples are found. And they're changed. How do we know this? How do we know that a change took place in their lives? For those of you who have children or grandchildren, when were they born? I don't mean the day, but what time was it? For those of you who've lost a loved one, what time did they die? Or what time did you receive that phone call telling you? For those of you who are married, what time was it when you made that decision to spend the rest of your lives together? Pivotal, life-changing moments often have a time attached to them. They came and saw where Jesus was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. About 4 o'clock, someone, one of them at least, took note of the time when their lives were changed. And then they went, and they told their friends who came and saw and had their lives changed too. And then they went and told their friends who came and saw and on for 2,000 years. And that, my friends, is evangelism. John the Baptist does it. He sees the Spirit descend as a dove, and he tells his followers, they go, see Jesus, have their lives changed, then go and tell their friends. It's not a series of complex steps. There's no complex theological argument that we need to construct in order to carefully counter any potential resistance. Just, what are you looking for? Where are you staying? Come and see. 2,000 years of people asking, people pointing, and people coming to see. Come and see. Not, you should go check out that church, or here, go read this book, and then we'll talk about it. But come and see. Come together. Come and see Jesus made manifest in our lives. Come and see as we discover the holy mixed in with the ordinary. God knows you. God sees you. And in return, we say to the world, come and see. Amen.